RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Back about a month and a half ago, we had Reuben Kirkham from Australian Free Speech Union on, and he was telling us about his battle to depose the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman Grant. Well, Dr. Kirkham is back with us, and this time we're talking about some of, well, more free speech issues facing Australia right at the moment. We've heard about them already. That includes the new mis- and disinformation bill, the proposed social media ban for kids at this stage anyway, the new hate crime bill, and the doxing ban that includes misgendering, and how all these might impact upon free speech rights. Reuben, welcome back. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having us back.
Okay, did you ever get rid of her? No, I don't think you did.
Well, I mean, she's suffering. There was a very, very funny academic report, so-called academic report, produced by Nina Jankovic, whatever her name is. And this was saying that all these freedom of information requests that we sent into her office were causing like immense disruption. But all they were was requests to the effect of, are you spying on us? And surely the answer should be no. You're not spying on me, surely. But unfortunately, they've been keeping these enormous amounts of documents on people. So there's one person who had 3,000 pages come back in the response to a freedom of information request.
Wow.
They're asking, what records do you have over a three-month period on my X account? And it's like, I mean, a lot of them were redacted. I don't know what's in the pages that are redacted. They might all be irrelevant, right? But 3,000 pages nearly. So no wonder they were struggling. I mean, what we thought would be a short, no, we're not spying on you after what she said to Parliament, instead became an enormous task for the administration and the eSafety Commissioner's office, which has also been good because that means they're not causing trouble for the rest of Australia and they keep floundering. Last week, I went and watched a case, X versus eSafety Commissioner, X Corp being the Plaintiff, so Elon Musk's organization, that were fined $600,000 for not replying to one of her petulant demands for information quickly enough. And it's like, how can she do that? But this brings me into the misinformation bill. So ACMA, which is related to the Safety Commissioner, our office runs out of it, the Australian Consumer and Marketing Authority. What ACMA are doing is going to do similar things. So they're going to have this power to demand information and impose massive fines if they don't get it. But they also have the power to bring about their own codes. And if an individual breaches one of those codes by aiding a breach by a social media company or helping someone get around it. So for example, if I said, you can get around these restrictions in Australia using a VPN on social media, in theory, I could be given one of those big fines.
Wow.
But the approach will be coercive. They will coerce social media companies into censoring before they even have to ask anything they don't think is true, which is probably actually true, or it's inconvenient might be another way of putting it.
Who are they trying to protect?
Well, they just like power. I mean, it's as simple as these people are amassing extensive powers that they just in case they need to use them. So let's say we have another pandemic. They want to ensure that everyone takes vaccines and anyone that says otherwise is in a lot of trouble. And that they want to ensure that everyone follows the public health restrictions, even though a lot of them are not justified. They're completely unscientific. So they want to control the science. They want to control the narrative. They even want to protect financial services companies.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. Yeah, why? Why then?
Because they can. I think they can. I mean, it's just they have a power and they want to try and exercise it to protect themselves for some reason. Or they just feel like it. Or they feel that they're better than us. And because they feel they're better than us, you just need to make sure that these citizens are all kept safe from knowing things that they shouldn't know, like in 1984.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Communications Minister Michelle Rowland argues that the legislation is necessary for, just as you were saying, safety and democracy, claiming it balances the need to combat harmful mis- and disinformation with freedom of expression. Those two are a complete opposite ends, aren't they?
Well, there's no balancing exercise in there. There's no process involved. I mean, who decides what misinformation is and what disinformation is. But they also were quite disingenuous. The nasty part is the codes about preventing mis or disinformation. So it's one step removed. So the social media company is required to take all these steps and then just be precautionary, right? If they want to protect themselves from fines or curry favor with ACMA, who will set codes that will shape social media, then they'll just over-censor. So they'll censor far more than what is required, apart from X Corp, who will no doubt challenge all this, as they've been doing. I mean, we've been increasingly thankful that Elon Musk bought X in Australia. Otherwise, we would not have all this litigation against the eSafety Commissioner, because they're willing to pay for the best lawyers. And it was a pleasure to watch the trial where they, again, the eSafety Commissioner obviously got flounced. They actually had a whole day looking at US law because the eSafety Commissioner had messed up one of her fines. Rather than just reissuing a notice like a normal person would do, she decided to litigate it. So they had these experts come in and argue about Nevada law. And it's like, why is an Australian court hearing all these arguments about Nevada law because she didn't issue a notice properly and just wants to fine X because she feels like it? So they had the best senior counsel in Australia, Brett Walker, there. And it was great fun watching it. But thanks to Elon investing in all these cases, we can stand up to this sort of thing. But it shouldn't be reliant on one billionaire in America protecting our rights in this sort of way.
And he could walk away too, couldn't he, at some point?
Yeah. Well, hopefully he doesn't. But it's the point, isn't it, that we're having to rely on that rather than the government protecting people and their rights. Now, isn't like keeping people safe keeping their rights safe? Isn't it?
Well, this is what I'm curious about, what she says here. Public safety, that would involve people not being, physically injured, right? I mean, that's my concept of public safety.
But they think it's about mental safety. Freedom from anything that might upset them. It's like coddling them. And freedom from anything that would cause problems for mentally ill government officials who must greatly suffer from the citizens knowing the truth. I mean, that seems to be their rationale.
So that's the public safety she's talking about. Democracy. How is it necessary for democracy?
Well, they obviously want to influence how people vote. So I guess there are forms of democracy. I mean, they've got a very different idea to what I would think democracy is and what most people think democracy is. But I guess they want to ensure that voters know the right information so they know which way to vote, maybe something like that. So they don't find out about government mess-ups or improper use of power or, look at Victoria, right, with Daniel Andrews and the report that about the car crash where apparently all the information was wrong. And it appears more likely than not, based on the report, that Dan Andrews drove his car into someone. That's the allegations that have been put up. Well, they'll obviously be tested in court. But this is the sort of thing that goes on. And in Victoria, freedom of information has been cancelled in the tribunal system because the governor won't appoint any members. So you have all these cases stayed, apart from some very high-profile ones, but freedom of information cases have been stayed for the last 15 months in VCAT because the governor of Victoria, and maybe the attorney general of Victoria as well, simply choose not to appoint members to hear the cases. The tribunal's gone along with that. So they've been undermining our freedom of information rights as well by the back door. They just have a complete disrespect for people's rights. They feel entitled to govern. Unfortunately, that's the impression that I get from the mindset behind this type of legislation.
Surely any political opposition would be screaming about this, are they?
Well, I mean, in Victoria, the political opposition is busy infighting rather than fighting for free speech. And in fact, their leader is against free speech. There's a very odd libel case going off this week in the federal court because their leader wanted to silence women, basic women's rights. So they removed an MP from the party because she went to a women's rights protest.
Yeah, we know about that. Moira somebody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Moira Deeming, yes.
Deeming, yeah.
I've been watching bits of the trial and it's absurd. You see like all these tweets being put up and they're completely anodyne. And it's like, why did you associate with that? Why did you associate with that? And it's like, really? it's so that's what the Liberal Party is spending their time on, rather than, you know, fighting for free speech. They're fighting against free speech. So yeah, you just want members that say what the leader wants to say. Well, that's not free speech. You know,
yeah,
that's something else. Just make sure they only meet the people the leader wants to meet. Well, what happens if your constituents want to meet you? You know, and they have a view that's different to dear leader. So it's a very, very strange trial. But unfortunately, Liberals in Victoria have been weak. But the federal level, there are Commonwealth level, there are senators standing up to this, and there are MPs standing up to this. And the Liberal Party at that level is starting to realise that this misinformation bill, this e-nannying, is a terrible thing. And we've built a tool so people can write to crossbench MPs, which is getting quite a lot of traffic. So we're hoping that these people on the edge will be able to tip the balance of power in favour of retaining the truth in Australia.
So people like Julie Inman Grant and people who think like her will be the arbiters, maybe not her personally, but people of that ilk, yes, of what is hate, what is misinformation, what is disinformation, what is malinformation. And but they kind of sound deranged. How can anyone trust?
Well, those people? They are.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see, I mean, she seems to be increasingly getting annoyed by being criticised. I mean, I went to watch ABC Q&A, and her behaviour, you could just tell by her body language and her behaviour that she's quite weird. I also watched the court case back in Sydney when they had the Bishop stabbing case, and the e-safety staff walked in,
yep,
and they looked quite strange the way they sat in court. And they looked like they were, they knew they were going to lose. They looked genuinely upset every time that their arguments, which are, you know, really inappropriate, would be openly shown to be flawed. And I'm just sitting there tweeting it, tweeting all the bizarre things that were happening in that court. And it was, you know, it was getting quite a lot of attention. But they have a very strange mentality. I mean, they probably actually believe in this stuff. They actually might be delusional enough to believe in this stuff. But they just evince a complete disrespect for the rights of ordinary citizens to know the truth, to think for themselves. And this is not what we want in a democratic society. We want a free Australia. We want a free internet. We don't want to be this global embarrassment, censoring the internet. I mean, if she could get away with it, it wouldn't be surprising if she would try something like what happened in Brazil.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking when you mentioned VPNs. Yeah.
Well, it's in there. You could be done for it, right? You know, if you get the wrong jury or the wrong magistrate, you could, you know, potentially be done for it in certain cases because they're modifying the hate speech laws. So it's just, so if someone reasonably feels because you're reckless rather than intentional, right? So they sort of weaseling of words, right? That actually has a big effect on the legal test. So they're doing it, yeah, sneakily. They've put three bills up at once. The misinformation bill is the one that's got the most attention, but I'm actually equally worried, perhaps even more worried, about the things they're trying to hide in the privacy legislation and the things they're trying to hide in the hate speech bill and the things coming up about, you know, social media and children, which is also very worrying.
Yeah, it's coming from all fronts, Ruben, from all angles, it seems. It's almost like it's a coordinated thing, you know, sealing off all the exits kind of thing.
It's one party putting bills up and it's hopefully on its way out, given the way they're conducting themselves. So there's a dying Labour government, or we hope a dying Labour government, given how they've chosen to conduct themselves, this particular Labour government. And they have decided to, you know, bring this pile of bills and hope no one notices. You know, we'll bring back the misinformation bill, but we'll also put two up and hope that no one notices what's in there. Well, we've noticed.
Yeah.
And we'll be making sure that every MP and senator knows what's in those bills and what's hidden in them. And how the, you know, something that sounds like a Privacy Act has this very broad provision about doxing. So if I apparently misgender someone or I use a dead name, I could get 7 years in prison.
Wow. It's insane.
That's how it's currently drafted. It's insane.
So this sort of framework of if they ever become laws gives that political party, what, a better chance of staying in power? Is that how we need to think about their motives here?
I would say it's just stripped. I mean, I think they actually genuinely believe that, you know, this pronoun nonsense and all that sort of thing, it's a religion to these people who come up with it. So, yeah, they're actually I don't think this is organized or thought through in a coherent fashion in the way that you might think. I think it's in there, I guess, what Elon Musk called the woke mind virus.
Yeah,
that would be a fair way of putting it. Sort of thing they would put together.
This is the effect of when you catch the woke mind virus, this is what happens. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So how hard do you fight, Ruben? What can you do apart from, you know, use the channels you've got? Because this requires people to be informed, really well informed, doesn't it?
Yes, and particularly the crossbench in the Senate. If we can get the crossbench to go the right way, and we're going to make sure that a lot of people are telling the crossbench what's going on, and if that fails, then we can, it'll be very expensive, but we can judicially review the codes that ACMA issues, we can defend individuals, we can hope that a new government does reverses these changes. So these, hopefully, if they do get in, will only be around for a short time. But that requires, you know, making sure that the Liberal Party campaigns on getting rid of the Safety Commissioner, getting rid of ACMA, getting rid of censorship, restoring honesty and decency to Australian society, and the truth.
Oh, yeah, just a little thing called the truth. Yeah, that'd be good,
wouldn't it? Very important.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets in the way, though, you know.
A bit annoying for them, but the truth is, you know, it's kind of the difference between the West and, say, living in a despotic society.
Yeah, and when we don't want it to become that. Yeah.
When they have their truth, the government's truth.
My truth.
Even
as
more
opposed to yours. Yeah.
Well, not you personally, but you know what I mean, right?
and you know what I mean. You know, it's my truth. Yeah, whatever that is. I don't know. Okay, Dr. Ruben Kirkham, Australian Free Speech Union, thanks for coming back on. And let's keep in touch and see how you go with this, okay?
Absolutely. Pleasure. Thank you.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.